Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
And then they were never happy again.
Oh, do it!
Free Tangy!
Free Tangy! Free Tangy!
Free my man!
Welcome to Lovecast, the BL podcast. I'm your host, Alexa, and today I have Pixie and Heather with me.
Hi!
Hello, and we are also joined by a special guest for this episode. We have Matt with us, also known as BL Bro on TikTok. Welcome, Matt.
Ooh, round of applause.
So, before we jump into the episode, we just wanted to give you guys a little Valentine's Day surprise. So, we have two tickets to give away for Be Loved Entertainment's online longleaf fan meet that they have coming up. So, we have one general admission and one video call ticket that we'll be giving away. Stay tuned for a little bit later in the video, and we'll have some more details on that. Okay, so today is our Valentine's Day episode. We're going to be talking about our favorite or most romantic scenes that we've watched in BL. But before we kind of get into the meat of things, since we have Matt here, Matt, can you tell us a little bit about how you came into the BL world and what kind of content you're making for BL right now?
Yeah. So first of all, long-time listener, first-time caller. No, I always see you guys clips on TikTok, and they always make me laugh. And I was listening to an episode earlier today, and I was like, oh my God, I love like how they've bonded over this content and he's like sharing it with the world. Yeah. It's so great. So I'm really happy to be here. I guess as far as BL goes, obviously known as BL Bro on TikTok, I got started watching BL. It's funny, like I was doing some reflection the other day. I was like, technically I've seen many BL throughout my life, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what they were. Mm-hmm. Like back in, do you guys remember 2016 when, I think it was 2016, Yuri on Ice came out?
Yes.
Has anyone
I was
seen
obsessed.
That? Yeah, okay. I was too. I didn't know what BL was at that time, but like in retrospect, I was like, oh my God, yeah, like that was a BL and I liked mm-hmm. it. But in terms of like my current era of BL, that started in 2019. I had just downloaded TikTok. So I was like playing around with it. My algorithm was like optimizing. Of course it's showing me gay stuff. So, all of a sudden I start seeing these clips from this show, Until We Meet Again. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is this? I've never seen anything like this. I didn't know that this existed. So I like looked it up and I was like, what? You can watch this for free on YouTube? That's amazing. It's kind of like all downhill or uphill, I guess, how you consider it, mm-hmm. from there. And I just got really into it. Watched like The Untamed in one sitting, one or two sittings.
Wow.
It's like 50 hours. No big deal.
No big deal.
It might've been two sittings. Another important thing was like, this was right before lockdown. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah. mm-hmm. I started watching the show. And then I think it was like in that March of 2020, like everything started shutting down. And then like my life for like a year was just watching and creating content for BL.
Yeah.
And TikTok at that time was crazy. Obviously, everyone was watching it all the time. So, mm-hmm. like, you could grow an audience really, really easily at that point. You still can. But at that point, it was just kind of crazy because no one had anything else to do. So mm-hmm. that's kind of like it in a nutshell.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I know I see all the time people sharing your videos, like in our Discord server and on every like other platforms and stuff like that. So I feel like a lot of our audience and a lot of BL fans have probably seen at least one of your videos somewhere, which it's like really cool to be able to mm-hmm. like, I don't know, you were just saying like, you know, we kind of share our community, like our BL feelings with the world mm-hmm. on YouTube, mm-hmm. but like you've been able to do the same thing on TikTok. So I don't know, it's cool to see how people kind of find their different niche communities within the BL world.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of surreal. Like sometimes when your content blows up, like I remember when I was watching Ken Porsche, mm-hmm. one of my videos got taken and put on Twitter mm-hmm. and like blew up there. And right. that was really weird. Like scrolling on Twitter and like, wait a minute, that's me. so BL, right. And I'm not even big on Twitter, so that was weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you found your full BL community online? Like, do you have IRL BL friends that you watch the shows with and talk about the series with?
I feel like it's so funny you say that. I feel like all of my BL friends are, like, online friends. Mm-hmm. I think like many BL fans, I've tried to force mm-hmm. IRL friends and family to check out shows, some with success. So my sister, she actually, when I started watching Until We Meet Again, I was so excited about it. I shared it with her mm-hmm. and she finished it before I did. Yeah, she was like right. on it. Mm-hmm. So that was like one person in my life where I was like, okay, we can share this together. But yeah, it's actually been kind of like really cool that it's allowed me to connect with people around the world. Yeah. online mm-hmm. Who share this interest.
Yeah I always think that's one of the coolest parts.
Yeah
I was gonna say that's literally our bread and butter, like I should say our bread and butter, like that's literally who we are.
Yeah,
like that's how international started. Friends who have been brought together by BL, and that's so mm-hmm. cool that you've also been able to experience that.
I remember we said when we met up in Thailand, like it's like we know each other, like we've known each other in real life mm-hmm. forever. Like we met up and it was just like there wasn't like a divide of internet friend and real life friend. It was just like we just knew each other mm-hmm. and it was such a crazy experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it was so odd on that Pixie. It was so odd first seeing everyone and literally being like, I don't feel like this is a, oh, you've come out of the screen type of situation. Like, I'm just like, oh, hey, like, yeah, we've seen each other all the time. Like, it's so fine. Even though you're literally now seeing the person more than like from belly down. Yeah.
Did you ever think where you're like, I thought you'd be taller. I thought you'd be shorter.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't expect Heather to be as short as she is. I don't think anyone did.
I did say I was small.
I think it's one of those things reality. You can't like imagine before you actually see it, because it's the same thing with my boyfriend, only like he's really tall and we met online before we like met in real life, so meeting him and he was like, he's a head taller than me.
Yeah.
It was,
oh wow,
crazy.
Yeah,
but yeah, height is definitely something. I guess, yeah, we kind of all had a bit of a moment being like, oh, you're that tall, oh, that's short. Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
it's the first time I've been one of the tallest people in the room.
I'm never the tallest person in the room. I peaked at 12. Like, didn't grow since I was like 12 years old.
Oh my god.
All right. Are we ready to jump into some romance?
Ready.
Okay. So, always. Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought this would be an interesting topic because I feel like everyone views romance very differently. So, I feel like we'd all kind of have scenes that stuck out to us as being like inherently romantic or super romantic. And I thought it would just be fun to talk about different forms of love for Valentine's Day. So, yeah. I don't know. Does anyone feel like they want to talk about a scene first, or I can start us off, whatever. Anyone jumping at the bit?
I'm happy to do whatever. I categorized stuff again. We know this.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. Of course I did. So I themed it by...
do you have like an Excel spreadsheet? Like...
Oh, dude. Well... She's so prepared.
I'm not that prepared. I did this last night in bed before I went to sleep.
More than I did.
I themed it after the love languages. So like words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch. Some of them kind of fit. I forced them to fit because I didn't have time to to find the ones. But I'm happy to, like, depending on how many people have round robin, or if we want to kind of go with the love languages and then just like jump in if you feel like your little scene fits the love languages.
So I have like
go ahead.
I was gonna say I had like three ones that I took a lot of notes on, and two more that I was like, if we have time I can talk about these two as well. So but I didn't really theme them around anything. I was like, this just feels romantic to me.
I'm so prepared that I have three sentences.
Wow.
Oh, you actually wrote stuff down.
It's more than usual.
Hey, that's all you need sometimes, is three sentences.
So
yeah,
okay, I'm feeling it.
I had like a couple in mind, and then after that I was going to kind of riff off of like the conversation. Yeah. So like,
that's usually
I am
what
open.
We do.
That's how I do it. So yeah.
That didn't really answer how we want to start, but.
No, it
words of affirmation. So words of affirmation are words that build you up. You thrive on spoken affection, praise, encouragement, compliments. Harsh words and criticism can bother you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So my words of affirmation pick that I found romantic, I guess, was the bad buddy end of ep 5 confession and kiss scene on the rooftop. So the reason I'm saying it fits in the words of affirmation is the communication. And I kind of took words of affirmation both as like verbally communicating, but also non-verbally communicating. I cheated it a little bit. And that confession scene and kiss on the rooftop has Pat kind of confessing, I guess, what he's feeling, or at least confessing his feelings that they are definitely more than friends, that he doesn't actually want to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pran, I guess, communicating back non-verbally that he also feels the same way, and that the reason and then I was kind of like thinking, or at least getting from the scene, the reason Pran felt that he could, I guess, communicate back in this way, so by kissing Pat back, was because Pat actually verbally said he communicated mm-hmm. what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I was kind of sitting that bad buddy end of ep 5 scene. I watched it this morning just to double check that it was in ep 5, and it got me good. I find it romantic. That entire scene, it just
top tier romance.
It just gets me.
Yeah.
No,
we love communication kings.
Yes.
Consent.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you talk about romance, that scene is one of the ones that is very often going to come up. Because it's like, I appreciate like you kind of taking it from the communication of the perspective of nonverbal communication, because I feel like that does kind of fit into like you can affirm someone's feelings for you and affirm your own feelings for someone in a way that's not necessarily physically speaking words. And so I do definitely think that fits into that category. So I think that's a cool perspective on it.
Can we talk about Om and Nanon, like, as actors, the way, just like you were saying with non-verbally, like the way through looks they communicate so much. Oh my god.
Oh, yes.
Every episode I was like, y'all don't need to be trying that hard.
The eyes say it all.
The rent was due.
They were going to do this one project and they were going to do it.
For real. They said, mm-hmm. we are going to make this one to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though this is like a words of affirmation little section, I feel like there is something within certain types of nonverbal communication that can just be so romantic and mm-hmm. yummy, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. Like,
yeah.
And there's just like eye contact can go a long way, and you can speak so much through your eyes. And like, I feel mm-hmm. like that coupled with a confession scene where you're actually getting the verbal communication, or you've got half verbal communication, half non-verbal communication. There's just something in the magic of the in-between that just I find so romantic. Mm. So romantic.
And like that takes like the whole, I feel like it takes like the whole creative crew. It takes like the director, the editor, who the producer of the music, like all of those elements have to be aligned mm-hmm. perfectly for those moments mm-hmm. to feel magical like that. And they pulled yeah. it off. They did.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
So I do have one that I feel like can fit into the words of affirmation category. And I was going to put it a little bit later on my list, but I'll say it now. this show, I had about 5 different scenes from it that I tried to narrow down and choose which one I wanted to pick. But I decided to go for one that was one that I haven't talked about before, or that Kayla hasn't talked about before, which might be a spoiler about which show I'm going to talk about. It's from I Feel You Linger in the Air. I have not shut up about this show for the past like 5 months, so no one is surprised. But it's from episode 10. And this is a scene after Jom and Yai, like, I'm not going to be too spoilery because I don't know how many people here have watched this show, and I know some of us plan to. But
just go for it.
Okay. So there is a reason. There is a reason they are forced to be apart. And then in the beginning of episode 10, Jom kind of does something that allows them to be together again. And they come back together and they have like this romantic moment. There's an implied sex moment happening, but the scene I'm specifically talking about is like in the aftercare moment after that. So they're in bed cuddling together, and Yai is basically getting very emotional, expressing how the time he had to be away from Jom, like he didn't even feel sad because he just felt like he wasn't even alive anymore when he was apart from Jom for this extended period of time. He felt like he had no feelings, like he didn't even have it in him to be sad about being apart from him because like he doesn't feel anything without Jom. And then Jom kind of is, I think it was like a spiritual kind of affirmation basically, where he was like, you know, I hope you never have to go through anything like this again, and I hope that your heart heals from what happened. And then Yai is basically like, you never have to worry about me going through this again because I have my heart and soul back because you're my heart and soul. And I literally have in my notes in all caps, that's fucking romance, baby. Like, yes. It's just like, Yai and Jom to me were like the epitome of romance. And I just feel like loving someone so much that you feel like you're not even a person anymore without them. And being able to express that is not easy. So I feel like that's something Yai as a character did really well. And he was always, you know, both verbally and non-verbally, like we talked about, expressive in how he felt about Jom and where those feelings come from and why Jom is so important to him. But I think that moment was one where Jom really realized who he is in Yai's life and what he actually means to Yai. And so for that reason, and then just the whole atmosphere of them being like cuddling in bed, and like there were so many emotions, like they were both kind of like crying, and it was just like, oh, it was just such a good scene. And I feel like that kind of verbal affirmation of you are literally my heart and soul at this point in life fits into the words of affirmation category. So
do you feel like moments like that, I watch stuff like that and I'm like, I'm like, this is so romantic. I love this, but could not relate. Like,
literally, never.
Like, I cannot put into words like emotions on that level. Yeah. I'm so bad at it. And so you feel these profound things, but then when you watch these shows, you're like, how are you being this vulnerable right now?
Yeah, no, I don't think I could ever. I don't know. I can't imagine myself ever saying something like that, but maybe if someone in my life was that important to me, it would just kind of like flow out. Who knows? But no, it's very much like this is unattainable romance, and that's why it's like so. That's why I like even latch onto romantic. It so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like one of the reasons why I love romance so much is because it's putting into words things that I couldn't, like, do myself. Mm. And it's kind of letting you live that fantasy of a world where people say these stuff, but, like, I could never.
Yeah.
That's why we like it. It's like our Delulu selves.
Definitely. Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like words of affirmation are not your love language, just in general.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
But yeah. Oh, that scene sounds beautiful.
Yeah. It's peak romance.
Yeah.
Everyone watch. I think there's anyone else.
I do need to watch it. I don't want. I don't mind you talking about it because I have the memory of a goldfish. Yeah. Like I'll forget. Same. It'll be new to me.
Honestly, same.
Good.
Same. Hence why I write down stuff and plan stuff because memory.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I forget to write things down, so
I'm like, I need to leave myself a note to remind myself to write things down, but then I forgot.
Or I forgot where I put the note, or I forgot that I wrote it in the phone in the notes.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. I do that.
I'll find the note like way later. I'm like, I needed this months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's a hard life.
Oh my gosh. But speaking of words of affirmation, you did make me think of a scene I did not think of before this. I don't know if we're like an I don't know when this episode's coming out, if we're allowed to talk about like Last Twilight or if that's too like new.
No,
It'll be out on like the 8th.
Yeah. So I would say yes, because I had one on my tentative list that was from Last Twilight. So,
oh, okay, cool. Well, I hope I'm not stealing thunder.
It just finished, right? Last Twilight?
Yesterday.
It just, on Friday.
2 weeks later. People have 2 weeks to catch up. They're fine.
I know. It's like, if you haven't watched it, like, come on.
Yeah. What are you doing with your life?
Well, if this turns out to be what you were going to talk about, just take it from here, because you probably thought about it more than I have. But I really liked... kind of in this finale, but relating back to the previous episode, how it's almost like words of affirmation as they work through different phases of the relationship. So it's not just words of affirmation at the end where things are resolved, but this was actually like the beginning of the conflict where Day expresses himself to Mok in the previous episode that he feels that Mok feels pity towards him. And that's the only reason, you know, why he loves him. He doesn't want to feel like he's holding him back. Mm-hmm. Like he's expressing himself in that way. And that kind of like severs the relationship temporarily. Mm-hmm. And then going back to the final episode, spoiler alert, how Mok with words of affirmation expresses today, like, I promise I'm not going to do this again, and articulates that he understands in the wedding scene. He understands what he was going through, like what his insecurities were, why he did what he did. And he was actually like, thank you for doing that because it helped me to grow.
Yeah.
And I just love that conversation that they put it out there, that it was, that they talked through it and it was able to both kind of be like the beginning of the troubles and the close of it.
Yeah, that was not the one that I had, but that was actually one of the things like that I pointed out in my reaction. I was like, I love that they are actually having a conversation about this and not just like, because, you know, they had like that flirty tension back early on in the finale. But I was like, I would really like for them to actually converse about what happened and why they were apart for all this time before they, you know, just kind of give into that tension and get back together. So when they actually sat and like had that conversation and were addressing like this is why I felt this way at this moment, and this is why I did this. And then, like you said, Malk was like, I understand, and I was able to learn a lot for myself around that. That was actually so, made me so happy. And I was like, I love when we actually like communicate why, you know, when we actually come back and communicate why our miscommunications in the beginning caused us these issues, if that makes sense. So yeah.
Totally. Totally.
Communication is sexy.
Yes.
It is.
Full stop.
Full stop. Did you have anything that maybe sat within words of affirmation, Pixie?
I don't know. I can't. I'm not good at putting things in blocks. But I will say, like, this, these whole discussions got me thinking about the eclipse and how God, what are their names again?
Akhenion.
Yeah. Ion is, it's Ion, right?
Ion or I?
You're trying to figure out who played who?
Okay.
Kaotong.
Kaotong's character. Yeah. He is very open and very verbal with what he's feeling and getting his points across, even though Ak is like, don't talk to me. Right? Yeah. So I found like that whole dynamic throughout the show with how open he is and how Ak is with drawn from how he's feeling and everything. I found that really interesting, and every time you saw Ak just giving in a little bit to Ion's very forward words of affirmation, it just got me like a lot. That's one of the things that made me really, really love the show and kept me like engaged throughout it.
Definitely.
Respectful persistence is also sexy.
Yes. But full not stop. If it goes over to stalking.
Yeah. Yeah. Aggressive persistence. Yes. Stay respectful. Not so respectful.
Stay, yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yes. All right. My next love language on the list is acts of service. So this is actually the very first.
My mind
it's
went
not exactly
somewhere.
A scene.
I mean,
pardon?
Pixie was thinking about a different type of service, a spicy service, active service.
That
I mean,
too.
It could fit into that category.
I do have scenarios for that if we want to go there, but that's not what's on my list.
Well, that's also a physical touch. So.
True.
Yeah, true. Oh, physical touch was hard to lock down. But we'll get to that when we get to that. That's the last one. So acts of service. This, for me, like I said, this was the first one that I thought of when I was thinking of, like, most romantic scenes in BL or most romantic storylines or just most romantic thing in BL. And that was so in Itse, where Te is preparing the study flashcards for Oa. Oh, Ao, I could never say his name properly. My fucking accent butchers it. So helping him, so he prepared the study flashcards for O and he helped him study. So you see across, it's not just one scene, you actually see across a couple of episodes, the idea of Te preparing these flashcards and then putting everything together and then helping him study because he was having trouble learning. I'm pretty sure it was either Mandarin or Cantonese or something like that. He was having trouble learning that. And so he put in this effort to help him a little bit more than he probably needed to do. And like in the series, that was to show just his developing feelings towards and I guess just not how far he's willing to go, just how deep his feelings actually were past just this like surface level of attraction. And so I found that really romantic, just this idea that, and I find this romantic in general, someone putting in the time and effort to do something for you to make your life a little bit better. Oh, shit.
I didn't read the thingy. I didn't read the thingy. This would make more sense if I read the thingy. I'll cut this in before. Yes.
God damn it.
Okay. Acts of service. Anything that your partner does willingly to ease your workload is a sign of love to you. You feel cared for when your partner vacuums before you get up or makes you breakfast as a surprise. On the other hand, broken promises or laziness can make you feel unimportant. So with the, it's a flashcard creating and helping him study, this act of service where he willingly did this to help like pass his exams and actually help him with his not just his schooling, but just like helping him study this language was helping him get into schools that he needed to get in like in the future and all this sort of stuff. And so this act of service was, I don't know, just, I can't explain it any further than how I've already explained it, because there is just something about someone seeing something within your life that can help you and they just do it.
Yeah.
Without asking for anything in return. And that's what he did. He didn't ask for anything in return when he was helping him. He didn't ask to get all of this recognition and this like grandiose thanks. He literally put together these flashcards, which is something that's so simple.
Yeah.
He put these together and he helped him study, and it was like, yes, it was an excuse to spend time with him, quality time, whatever, but it was this act of service that I just thought was just so romantic. And I'm talking in circles again. I'm getting sweaty because I'm remembering this. This series just has my heart. I'm also very warm and wearing a long sleeve shirt, and it's the middle of summer here.
We understand.
Oh my god. Yeah, they don't.
Like, me and Alexa are nodding along, but we haven't actually seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, I'm right there with you. Like,
this is also why I'm just speaking, because I'm like, you guys have to understand just how romantic this is.
And it's like, with Itsay, it's so, okay, I'm right there with you. That show is so good.
Yes.
Creatively, artistically, everything. And it's so, like, you feel frustration during that show for a lot of reasons, but one of them I'm realizing is that he is doing these acts of service and he's not connecting the dots. And you're like, you love him. You love him. And why won't you admit it?
Figure it out.
It's so frustrating.
Yes. Yes. And like, so that's not the only act of service he does, but that I feel is the most romantic, because it took a lot of preparation. It took him ages to go through his book and put together these flashcards, print them out, write them out, put them on this little, like, chainy circle, whatever it's called, and then like giving that to him and then actually helping him study. And you see montages of them studying together and like yelling down from the top of the balcony like the words and studying like that. And like, clearly acts of service and quality time are my love languages. So
strong feelings.
So I have strong feelings about this within this series, and I just have strong feelings about this series in general. But yeah, I'm going to stop talking now because I'll just keep talking in circles about
when
this.
When you gave that like explanation for what it is, the first thing that popped into my head was lovely writer and Cal's character making food for Up's character and the
You're so right.
With the jam.
Yeah. Cal's character Nelvsip in that show, I feel like, was very much an acts of service partner, because when Gene was sitting there focused on his writing, you know, he was doing the things that would allow Gene to focus, whether that was making him food, cleaning up his apartment that got too messy because he was just in the zone writing and doing all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I was like, I can't, while you were speaking, I was like, I can't really think of, there's not one on my list that fits into that category. So I was trying to think of one on the fly, but Pixie, you're right. Lovely Writer is a good,
I got you.
A good pick for that one.
Like, that's a good... That made me think of how much I love, especially in Thai dramas, how food is a love language almost.
Very much.
Like, I mean, it ties into acts of service, like I'm making a meal. But like food, I mean, obviously culturally is so important that it's really interesting, I guess, as like an American to watch these shows and be like, oh, like that's like a really central and almost like emotional part of the culture. That it's almost like this script writing shorthand for love or care or showing the relationship between two people. Like in, oh my gosh, Middleman's Love, the, I forget the side couple's name, forgive me. They always meet up at the hot pot restaurant. And like, one of them teaches the other how to like, oh no, like you got to boil it for this long and that's what makes it better. It's just making me think about all those little moments of how like food is tied in and it's this shorthand for care and devotion.
Absolutely.
It's funny you actually mentioned that because my next love language was receiving gifts. And I actually had on my list until we met again, Palm making food for Dean and delivering it all the time. And then Dean taking an interest in that as well. So they have some quality time when Dean starts to take an interest back in the food that Palm's making. But like 100%, I feel like there's this love language with food and care and... There's something special. I think it's, there's something special about showing that you care for someone. And I think that, food, especially like you said, in Thai dramas, is such a visual way, like it's such a physical way of taking care of someone, such a visual, physical, like public way of taking care of someone. And so,
I think you find it in like most Thai shows have some sort of food incorporated into the story for romance. Also like taking care of someone that's sick.
I was gonna say I feel like a lot of the popular BL tropes that we see kind of fall into that like acts of service category, whether it's like bandaging up a wound when someone falls or taking them to the hospital if they get hurt, and like even like the sponge bath and the wipe downs, like that's an act of service that you're using to show that you're caring for that person when they're unwell and can't take care of themselves. So I feel like that's like a lot of the popular BL tropes that we talk about, I feel like kind of fall into that acts of service category.
Japanese BL too, like yaois of old all have like some kind of taking care of the sick part of the story.
So do the Taiwanese ones.
It's just a common thing, I think. I think, I mean, maybe, like maybe it's a cultural thing because I don't know, maybe, you know, American culture, I think, is a lot more individualistic. So it's kind of like, if you're sick, like if you're an adult, you're kind of on your own unless like you have a person that is like, literally. And so like, I think maybe culturally, like the community aspect and like, you know, having people step in to kind
that
of help
so
you.
That is so interesting. I have never thought about that, but I can't remember like a single Norwegian show I've seen where taking care of a sick person or anything has been in any form like put in there for the romantic side of it or the caring side of it. Like that's not a normal trope or thing to see in a show.
That is interesting. Yeah, I feel like in Western shows you don't see it as much.
No,
unless the whole story is like a plot of someone sick and like the whole story is around it, like the
caretaker kind of
like the what's his name, Hank Green's book.
The
Fault in Our Stars.
John Green. Yeah, too many greens.
the two of them.
Literally, the greens. Brothers, too many greens.
Okay.
Oh my god! Total side tangent. Is Scam Norwegian originally, the show?
Yes.
Oh my god. Okay. Another time we'll have to talk about.
We probably have time after recording. Go off on Scam. Did anyone, besides Lovely Rider, did anyone have, oh my god.
They're okay. They're chiming the in. They're trying to
yeah, the conversation. Chiming. What else? Do you want me to let you?
They have a lot to talk about.
But yeah, does anyone have any other acts of service?
Lore.
I don't know if they do, apparently. Okay, receiving gifts. So I spoke about Meet Again and gifts. Mm. I also had a thought on... I don't know if it's exactly romantic. No, it's not romantic. It just made me think of it. But secret crush on you. Because he gave a gift and then it was given back. So then he was like taking little gifts for himself. Not romantic. It just made me think of it. But there's like other, I know there's other. Oh, wait, shit. I was going to say, don't forget to read your blurb. I'm doing this so badly. I'm clearly not prepared. I told you I wasn't actually prepared. Fucking hell. Ignore everything I just said.
Clean slate.
Receiving gifts is the next love language on the list. And that's when you speak this love language, a thoughtful gift shows to you that you are special. In contrast, generic gifts and forgotten special events have the opposite effect. This love language isn't necessarily materialistic. It could be as simple as receiving your favorite snack after a bad day. So that's why I had Until We Meet Again, Palm making food for Dean and basically giving that to him every single day.
Yeah.
And it was, and the thing is, he was giving him not just food to like sustain him, but he was making specific desserts and he was making specific things for Dean to show that he cared. And so I thought that was really romantic.
Careful what you ask for, because this could quickly become an Until We Meet Again. That is like my favorite, but like totally like everything that you've like brought up about that show in the gift giving part about the food. And I love the additional element within that that story of the food connecting to the past lives. Like how Dean's like, oh, like my omelet's not burned on the bottom, but it's like this memory he had from past life, or like the treat, I believe was, it's like, it was loom something like forget to swallow, I think, because it tastes so good. And it's like, just like thematically, like forget, like memories, like everything about like what they did in that. Oh, kitty. I got distracted. Like everything's on pause. Yeah, cat in the frame.
Showed up.
But
yeah,
that's
amazing. Should probably settle a selfie.
Is she our? She's the official producer.
Yeah, her and my cat Melody. I don't know where she is right now, but she usually shows up at some point. Too.
One day we'll do that April Fool's love cats thing that we've been talking about from the beginning.
Yeah, I'll catch my cat as well somewhere. She's a diva. She doesn't want to come be with me.
But yeah, everything about that show, adore it.
Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely. I actually, I have one that fits here perfectly. Like
I have one too, but I'll let you go first, Pixie.
Yes. Okay. So I mentioned before we started that there was like, I was going to find which like episode this was from, but I ended up just watching the show because I love it so much. So, History 3 Trapped, right? When Xiao Fei surprises Tang Yi with a cake.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes. Love that scene. And with the wishes. And it's everything just like, it's like a pouring out of just emotions and love. And I don't have words for it. I just... That's like peak romance for me. That's where all romance just like
that's your epitome of romance.
Yeah.
It's like so sad because like, and then they were never happy again.
Oh, do it.
Free Tang Yi.
Free my man.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, oh, I legit ended up watching the whole show.
That's so valid.
Yeah,
that's a really good
one. Just there's something special about him giving him this birthday surprise and cake and hat and just showing how much he actually cares for him in that mm-hmm. moment.
Mm-hmm.
And just and, yeah, and I 100% just think what that peak means too.
For Tang Yi as well.
Yes. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good scene.
And there's like this... some words of affirmation in there. There's some communication in there.
Mm-hmm.
There is.
But yeah, the like actually giving him this cake and this experience to mm-hmm. show how much he is cared for and loved.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, romantic AF.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love when it's like a hardened mafia guy and like it always has soft moments.
Every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. So my one that I had that fits into this category also kind of falls into the surprise event category of gift giving. And for some reason, this scene has been stuck in my head for so long. And I don't know why, because when I think about the show, like, this pairing is not the one that I think about enjoying. But it's from Dark Blue Kiss, in episode 7, when Cao sets up the anniversary surprise event for Pete. So, yeah, I kind of thought this could fit into, like, quality time as well. But I had it for gift giving because, you know, he sets up like this whole big like room in their university. He has all of these photos of them. He set it up with the lights. He has like a gift as well in this note that kind of is just like explaining, you know, their relationship, how they came to be where they are, explaining, you know, why he loves him and things like that. And then, you know, Pete's walking through this kind of space that he set up, and then Cao shows up at the end. And I kind of put it in quality time because one of the things Cao mentions is that, like, I know you feel like I haven't had time for you lately, so this is something I wanted to do for you to, you know, let you know, one, I didn't forget our anniversary, but also, you know, give you that quality time that you've been looking for. And I even, like, put in my notes before we were kind of, I was looking at it from the love languages gesture. But like, it's a moment where someone who might not be into big romantic gestures goes out of their way to do something for their partner and express love to him in the way that he needs it. So yes. Even though, like, when I think of Dark Blue Kiss, Sun and Mork were like were my bread and butter in that show. But this scene from Pete and Cao always stands out to me as like one of my favorite like textbook romantic gesture moments from a show.
Yeah, that 100% was like my second
mm-hmm.
thing that that would be an acts. What are we
gift calling? Giving
acts service? No, receiving gifts.
Receiving gifts. Yeah,
receiving gifts, and it was like the straddle one between receiving mm-hmm. gifts and quality time because, just 100%, like you were saying, doing something that isn't what you would usually do, but mm-hmm. you know your partner would appreciate it and love it, and you do it because you know that. That's exactly what they would love and kind of what they're needing at that point in time is just mm-hmm. perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And it shows like the emotions behind like the gift giving is what matters and not like the cost of it. The actual
thing
it.
Itself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because like you think about it, like he did print out like all these pictures, but he also just like wrote stuff on post-it notes and stuff like that. So, like, mm-hmm. was it the most extravagant thing in the world? Maybe not to everyone, mm-hmm. but it was something that was super meaningful to both of them in that moment and expressing their feelings for each other. So, yeah, it's a scene that I've always really liked ever since I watched that show.
Yeah.
That was all.
Okay. If no one has anything else for receiving gifts, we could do some giveaway details.
Yes. So, pause to talk about another fun gift-giving opportunity for our listeners and viewers. So, Long Li Online Fan Meet hosted by Beloved Entertainment. So,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
How can you enter this giveaway? One, you can like this video. Two, you can make sure you're subscribed to Lovecast. And three, you can head down to the comments below. What should they leave? Like their favorite Long Lee TV show, their favorite romantic moment from one of Long Lee's shows, maybe. I don't know. What do we think they should leave in the comments?
Favorite romantic moment in general.
Yeah.
I think if you've got a Long Lee romantic moment, leave that first.
And then
give us another romantic moment from another series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those three things, right? Yes. Like, subscribe,
yes,
and comment with your favorite Long Lee or general romantic moment from a BL, and you'll automatically be entered to win. And then once the giveaway is over, we'll throw everyone's usernames into a random name picker and choose the winner that way. And you can see more of those details in the description, but make sure you do those three things and you'll automatically be entered. So yeah, make sure you go do that now. You can pause now and do it or stick around until the end and drop them in the comments then.
And if you're listening audio only,
yes,
don't pause while you're driving and do it.
Yes.
Listen don't first. Do that. Listen to the whole episode and then come see us on YouTube.
Yes. Please do not get into a car accident trying to enter this giveaway. Yeah. That is not our goal here. But yes, this is our Lovecast's gift giving act of service romantic moment for our listeners and viewers for this Valentine's Day. So make sure you go enter.
Yay. All right. Okay, back to romantic moments. Next, love language. Let me start with by the reading it out. So the next love language is quality time, which is actually a really good little, like, not segue, but it's a good point in the list, because we're just kind of talking how receiving gifts and quality time can sometimes go hand in hand. So, quality time. To you, nothing says you're loved like undivided attention. When your partner is truly present, it makes you feel important. Failure to actively listen or long periods without one-on-one time can make you feel unloved. So, for me, my quality time romantic moment is from Make Our Days Count, the beginning of episode 6, where they have a date under the stars. Oh,
that's such a good scene.
It's such a good scene. And so it's like they go to this park and they brought fairy lights and food, and they're just there to spend time together outside of school, outside of the stresses of exams and work and all that sort of stuff. And they are literally spending time together and communicating and bonding, and they kiss under the stars, and they, like, a small little kiss, but the main point of this sort of date was to connect and have undivided attention. And it was, every time I watch that scene, it's not that long, it's at the right at the beginning of the episode, it's like only a couple of minutes length of a scene, but it's, I swoon every single time. I just become mush, because it's just, it's so sweet. It's so sweet. Quality time, guys.
That's a good
Nothing
one.
Beats quality time.
I do love
So don't kill me. I haven't seen Make Our Days Count, And I've been told that I should watch it. I've been told by other people don't watch it.
I'm sure
it.
You've heard.
No. Okay. I am a very vocal advocate for this show, to watch it in full, to experience everything about it. I know a lot of people are like, don't watch the last episode. It's tragic, da da da. I'm like, no. Watch the last episode, feel the message of this show, and then just semi-choose to believe that there was actually a happy ending. But
I respectfully disagree. Do not watch the last episode.
No, it's... Oh, you've just...
You're like, are you in a good headspace to be hurt right now?
Oh, yeah. No, that you've got to be in a good traumatic headspace for the end of the series. But, like, it's just the romance of the actually there's quite a lot of romantic moments within this show if you kind of start pulling certain things apart, not just from the main couple but the secondary couple as well, but that show, I feel as strongly about Make Our Days Count as I do Itsy. It's like there's just something about watching this relationship develop and then knowing that life is fleeting, so
yeah,
put your all into okay.
It's okay,
I don't want to keep going because I will start to I've already like it's spoiled, it's years old, but like there's just something about watching them fall in love and then I don't know, the heartbreak just makes the love story more special. But I also quite enjoy angst, so
I feel like if I'm in the right mood, I could probably watch it. I'll have to make an effort to watch it.
It's no one warned me. No one warned me, and I'm still bitter.
I watched it while it was airing, and so I experienced it with everyone else, not knowing anything.
Everyone told me to watch it. Everyone told me to go and watch it, and no one warned me. I am still bitter.
Yeah, I feel like it's just so there has to be a warning.
Yeah. I would say, definitely be warned, which you obviously have been, but it's tough when you go in blind. Yeah. But I would say, like, I'm an advocate for watching it all the way through at least once. And then, like Heather said, you can decide from there if you want to make your own happy ending at the episode before, or go all the way through till the end. So,
Fanfic exists for a reason.
True.
I'll leave it there.
This is true. This is true.
Quality time. That was my quality time romantic moment.
I don't have like one on my current list that kind of fits into my quality time, but one that I thought of, which like if you look at one of the characters in the show, like he expresses pretty much every love language that there is. But in My School President, specifically thinking of when Gunn decides to leave the music club because he thinks Sound would be a better leader, and Tin can kind of see that he's struggling with not having, you know, the time that he would usually dedicate to his band. So this one kind of, I think, falls on the line between like acts of service and quality time. But, you know, he can see that Gunn is really struggling with, you know, not being with his band, not having band practice when he would normally be. So he kind of invites Gunn to come on to like the student council's activities fair that they're setting up. And in that, of course, they're spending a lot of quality time together because they're like going and checking all the clubs, what activity they have planned. They're helping set up, they're going through like doing test runs and stuff like that. And then like he even invites Gunn to join like as the student council's official singer, so that, you know, while Chinzilla would be having this performance during the event, Gunn would have something to like keep him distracted and would also be with Tin during that time. So like, you know, he's not thinking about not being with the band anymore. And then there's particularly that scene in the stairwell where they're kind of like sitting together eating lunch and Gunn's just kind of talking about why music is so important to him and why he always mm-hmm. pictured himself as a singer and why, you know, he can't picture himself as anything else other than a singer. And so I think that one particularly really falls into the quality time where they're just in the stairwell eating these little box lunches, just kind of expressing why, you know, the things that mean a lot to them mean a lot to them. So that kind of popped up in my head as a quality time moment. And it's also like a moment when I think they bond a lot closer, and Gunn, you know, obviously after that we got the iconic pinky linking scene. So I think that's when Gunn kind of sees Tin a little bit in a romantic light starting from that moment. So yeah.
Yeah.
I like how in retrospect, even in the early episodes, like the fighting was Tin trying to get quality time.
Literally. And like trying to provide acts of service. Like my guy was just doing it all from the beginning.
Going off that, like I have so many examples for this one, but I'll keep it to one. Semantic error. Like the whole show's premise is about quality time, and it starts out as quality time through differences, like through enemies. Like he is focused on him from the first moment and throughout the whole thing, and it's just like moving from a dislike to love. And it's just it's so good, and it's like almost on the brink of like real obsession, but yeah. it's not over the top to where it becomes too stalkerish, if you know what I mean.
It toes the line. Yeah, it toes the line.
It balances the line very well.
For sure.
It's tasteful, for sure.
Tasteful obsession.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot obsession. Of time spent together in
respectful
that show.
Obsession, yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Sorry, now the noise comes from out here.
Also, just quickly. My Beautiful Man.
What? Quality time.
Quality time.
Yeah.
My Beautiful Man.
Undivided attention. That's attention obsession. On him, not yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was gonna say when Kiyoi definitely is I like quality time from Hira when Hira isn't putting him on that pedestal, yeah. when he isn't yep. seeing yep. him, when he's not idolizing him, when he is actually there and present and seeing Kiyoi for Kiyoi, and the quality time that they spend together like that is what Kiyoi wants from their relationship. 100%. 100%. Good one. That's a good one for quality time.
I'm channeling Kayla.
Yeah, they would appreciate that mention.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my god, how have we gotten this far without talking about Heart and Li Ming from Moonlight Chicken?
You're so right.
Quality
time, everything. Like everything.
They just popped up in my head. You know that audio? It was like on TikTok a while ago. That's like, I just want what those little Italian boys have. It's like, I just want what those little Thai boys have. Because it's so pure. It's like, yes, it started out as like kind of like a beef between two people, but pretty quickly, like they just connect on this very basic level. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Yeah, I forgot all about them.
Yeah, no, the quality time, and like especially with Heart or Li Ming being like the only person that really chooses to spend any quality time with Heart after him going deaf is like, and that being like the whole basis of, you know, it's the same vein, like at first they're kind of forced to spend that time together, but then like it quickly turns into this time that's so meaningful for the both of them, and times they get to spend with someone who they feel truly understands them. It makes it so special.
I'll never forgive the parents for like that moment when the parents like realize that, oh, this boy learned sign language for and we haven't even that done
we can't
that.
Even communicate with. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
When that hits, you're like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you deserve to feel like shit about now. That. And I hope you do for the rest yeah. of your life. Yes.
Yeah. and then he takes him to like that, I forget if it was like a church group or just a community group.
The community yeah. church thing. Mm-hmm.
Like that's more of acts of service, yeah. but also quality time. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
I love that.
So good.
All right, everyone ready for the
one
last
that everyone's been waiting language. For physical.
The one that everyone's probably yeah probably oh wants boy. To talk about and everyone wants to listen to physical touch. All right, so holding hands, kisses, hugs, and other touches are your preferred way to show and receive love. Appropriate touches convey warmth and safety, while physical neglect can drive a wedge between you and your partner. So I had a lot.
There's so many that can fit into this category. Physical touch,
there's so much that can sit in here. Honorable mentions to semantic era kiss, my school president finger touch, hand holding, all that sort of stuff. But the one I wanted to highlight was actually the end of episode 8, beginning of episode 9 of Blooming. Where they talk on the beach, they kiss on the beach, and then their love scene and the talking afterwards. All of that, I think, was so romantic in the sense that it was physical touch coupled with pretty much like slightly, maybe not, but like words of affirmation and the communication that we talked about up there. The physical touch coupled with like the communication just was so romantic. And like the thing was, they communicated on the beach. They were bonding on the beach. They have a soft kiss to a bit more of a physical kiss to actually sleeping together. And then the aftercare afterwards with the cuddling and the playing. And it was like each moment of physicality was so right for that moment of their journey of their relationship in that short span of time. So like a first kiss and the way they dealt with like, well, yeah, like a first kiss on the beach type of thing. Or was it the first kiss in general?
It was their first kiss in general. Yeah.
It was the first kiss in general. So like that first kiss to then a bit more of the kiss and then how they went through their like beautifully shot sex scene and then the playfulness afterwards and the joking and the tickling and like the pillow fight type of stuff and like I just felt that whole entire sequence so romantic and sweet and special. And I watched that scene this morning to try and figure out exactly where, like, I thought it was all in one episode, but no, it's split between two. But like, it's just watching it again just makes you feel like you're falling in love with them, like falling in love alongside them, sorry. And it's just, it's so sweet and so special and I like it.
No, I had, that was on my list. It was one of my like extras that I had if time allowed to discuss them. Specifically, I had the first kiss on the beach. Because I thought it was another one where kind of all the elements worked together really well to kind of enhance the physical intimacy of that moment. They were on the beach when the sun was setting. The music kind of surges as soon as he goes in for that first kiss. And I also love that, like, Siwon, he was so eager, but he also, like, didn't really know what he was doing. So he, like, he went a little smashed. Bit. Yeah, and then he was like, okay, let's take it a step back. And then got back into it, and then it kind of escalated from there. Yeah, so I had that one as well. And it also kind of made me think of physical touch for them. Siwon loving to get his head rubbed. And I like how the first time, like, Dawoon does it, like, he pulls back because he doesn't think that Siwon would like it. But then Siwon takes his hand and, like, makes him do it again. And then that becomes, like, one of the recurring, like, forms of...
Oh, I love that. That's, that's a perfect physical touch one as well.
Yeah, they were really... I love them.
The and head that's also... pat makes... Oh,
no,
go ahead.
No, you go. No, you go. I was getting off Blooming, so no, you go.
No, I was always too. It was going to be like a little segue. Because the head padding made me think of, again, semantic error and like this element of consent with physical touch. I really like that. I really like how, you know, like I think at one point he like pats his head or whatever, and the next time he like says, hey, if you're gonna touch me, you need to like let me know beforehand. And then he respects it throughout the rest of the show. Is it okay if
and,
I
like
pat
dragging
your head?
Him
then...
with the bag,
yeah, grabbing onto his little backpack tail.
Or when when he's like, I'm gonna when Soham's like, I'm gonna kiss you in 1 minute.
You don't want
and then Jae-chan's just like, whatever.
That is
so perfect.
That's good stuff.
He's like, we don't need the countdown.
My other, like I said with my honorable mention, the other one I had on my list for physical touch was the My School President finger touch. And that reminds me of things like the You're My Sky little finger pinky.
Yeah, I just rewatched that scene the other day.
Yeah.
The tension of hands is like...
Oh. Yeah, and then like the holding hands when walking. So, oh my God. I can't think of the exact show right now because I know it's happened in a couple of different shows, but like walking outside and then just holding someone's hand. Oh, it actually happened in Light on Me where you're walking outside, where they're walking outside and then they just hold hands.
Yeah.
And like, it's this like moment of, oh, I love hand holding and, and like those little, like you said, the tension of the hand touches, but there's something different when it's like just holding hands and walking down the street. Like that physical, actually maybe physical touch is also a love language of mine. Anyway.
Learning something new about yourself.
Like the actual just hand holding and that that connection and wanting to be connected to your partner in that way is, I just think that's so romantic. So romantic.
No, that's a good one.
I like in Light on Me when they're holding hands at the end and their friends like are protecting them. Love that.
Yes.
Oh, like, you want to talk shit?
Light on Me again. Yes. Yeah, we got your back. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't want to put a kiss scene in physical touch because I don't know. I was, when I was trying to think of like romantic kiss scenes, I kept coming up against sexy kiss scenes opposed to romantic, and I was like, I don't know where my like well, I say I didn't want to put a kiss scene, I literally put the kiss scene from Blooming, but like I couldn't differentiate, at least for me personally, I couldn't differentiate between what I felt was romantic and what I felt was just
I have a scene, it's not kissing, it's implied kissing, but it's I don't know if I find it romantic or sexy. Like, I don't know how to differentiate.
Differentiate.
It's the scene in To My Star when they're in the bed and they're rolling around and you pan out over the legs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, obviously, yes, there's some sexiness to it, but I also find, like, just, like, the whole, just, like, the intimacy of just lying in bed and just being close to each other after everything is just very romantic.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
I mean, I think romance and
sex... I feel like that's
sex...
a bit of, like, quality time and physical touch at the same time.
I just, I feel like romance and sex... If for some people, not for everyone, but a lot of the times they are kind of something that's intertwined. So, you know, like what's interpreted as sexy in a kiss scene for one person might lean more romantic for another. And I think, you know, there are people who keep them separate. There are people who see them as one and the same. So I feel like it can kind of be, you know, however you view it, which I think is fun because
I mean,
everyone has different
sexy
definitions.
Sexy and sex is two different things to me too.
That's true.
Like I don't, because of the asexual, I don't see sex as sexy. Do you understand?
No, totally.
It's kind of like doing a chore.
You're like, I'll do it,
I'm
but
I'm not
like...
even fucking with you.
That's you showing
you
quality
make
time.
It fun, it's gonna be fine, but if not, like it's a chore. Thank you.
You're so like, weird. Oh, Saturday again. Okay.
I guess we have to get it done.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's gonna live in my mind for the rest of the week.
Pixie's good at doing that.
You're welcome.
Pixie's good at doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to get off on a Playboy. Sorry.
Yes, go off.
On a Playboy tangent. Uh-huh. But this all made me think how we're talking about like sex versus love versus physical touch and how freaking messy that show is about all of those things.
Yes.
Like a show very much about like gay hookup culture and about how like, what does that mean when it comes to like feelings and love and relationships? I've just found that to be a wild ride. I am one episode behind, but that has been really crazy interesting. And because I haven't seen, I guess, like, I haven't seen that side of, like, specifically, like, gay men's relationships portrayed, which is a very real thing, like, hookup culture and all of that.
Yeah.
It sometimes it sort of feels like, sort of like a, well, a documentary.
Yeah.
Well, at least when I'm watching it, because like I'll never be part of that culture, like anyways, like that part of it. So it's just like, is like this is how it is.
Educational but, fee.
Education.
At the same time, I cannot relate at all. But it's very messy and it's very dramatic, and I'll watch. It's fine.
It is. I can. Yeah. In real life, it's very messy and dramatic. Not quite to that level. Yeah. I've not. My twin hasn't been kidnapped, and like I haven't seen that, but
right.
But
right.
Yeah,
that's good at least.
That's good at least. Oh yeah. So
did anyone else have other?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Alexa.
No, you're fine. Because I was just gonna
twin brains. Yes. Are we twin braining it again?
Okay. Always. So my physical touch moment, and while thinking about this list, I realized that these kind of moments come up for me as being viewed as romantic in BLs a lot. I'm a sucker for a good slow dance scene. So like when I was going through my list and what I wanted to include, I was thinking about so many different ones. There's two in I Feel You Linger in the Air. There's one in My School President. There's one in two in Last Twilight, if you think about the finale. But the one I landed on was from Gaia Sa Pellicula. When they're so the power goes out and they're slow dancing on the patio, and it kind of turns into their imaginary like prom moment. So it's another one where I think the atmosphere of a slow dance combined with like the physical proximity, especially because I feel like a lot of the times these slow dance scenes happen, not always, but a lot of them, they happen before both parties have really admitted their feelings for each other. So there's this tension of being this physically close with this person you're realizing you're into. And I think for GSP, there's also this added element that's kind of sad of it being a fantasy because they're, you know, having this dream moment of being able to openly dance with a man at their school dances and being able to express their affection towards each other in that way. So like the scene was beautifully done, and I think it was really a turning point for both of the characters kind of coming to terms with how they feel about each other, particularly, am I blanking on the name, but particularly Ian's character, who is the one who is not openly queer or I'm sorry, Pao's character, who is not the one who is who is the one who is not openly queer at the start of the show, and Ian's character, who has kind of said like, I've been through the experience of trying to go to a dance as a queer man, and it has never panned out well for me. So them kind of creating this fantasy moment while they're dancing, while the power's out on their patio, and there's someone else there, but they might as well be alone because she's passed out drunk. So it's like really beautiful, but it's also so sad at the same time, because it's like they can't do this in real life, so they have to like create it in their heads essentially. But that's just one of the ones like that always sticks out to me as one of my favorite scenes from that show. And when I was thinking about like there's so many different slow dance scenes that are coming up in my mind, I feel like I kept coming back to that one as like the one I wanted to highlight. But I think in general, slow dance scenes kind of when they're like that first exposure to physical intimacy with someone you're realizing you're into. Like, it was like that in My School President. It was like that in There's One, and I Feel You Linger in the Air. The last Twilight one was a little bit different because they were already together, but it still kind of had that, like, we're being physically close in this way, and it's very, like, different from the way we're usually physically close, I guess. So, yeah, I really like those type of scenes.
Yes. I'm so sorry. I just thought of something that is, like, completely not what we're talking about right now.
Do you need to say it before you lose it?
I do. I really do.
Go for it. Go for it.
Old fashioned cupcake, quality time.
Right. That's like the whole premise of the show, yeah.
That's literally the whole premise of the show. And like, okay, so I'll tell you why my brain got here from what you were talking about. So we're thinking physical touch. And I was like, oh, the kiss in that show was...
Recently rewatched that as
and
well.
I was like, yeah, oh, it was. Actually, the reason the kiss in that show was that was because of all of the quality time that they spent together and the way that their relationship developed because of the shared interests and the and the undivided attention and the support that happened during that period. And then that confession and kiss was just made that much sweeter because of that. Yeah. And then I was like, quality time! Old-fashioned cupcake!
No, that's a good one.
How did we not say this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what really brought me with that show is, like, how he's, like, buried his feelings and it's just, like, on, like, okay, he's just happy to be around him. But he gets to a point where he just can't keep it in anymore. And it's
secret
just like...
crush, my favorite trope. I've decided a secret crush is my favorite trope.
It's a good one. A
and good so, one. Yeah, old fashioned cupcake, 100%. And the quality of time. And I didn't mean to.
If someone hasn't watched that show, you need to watch that show.
Like, I've never seen old fashioned cupcake.
Do it. You need to watch it.
It's so good.
It's really okay,
it's not even long. It's not even long. It's so good.
What is it?
It's
five
it's
episodes?
Japanese BL. It's not that long. Yeah. It's a romance between a 30-year-old and a 40-year-old. It's office romance.
Office romance.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Sometimes offices are a vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
it's like office,
a good office romance.
And office adjacent.
Yeah.
Because they don't really, like, the whole quality time is
happens
outside,
outside
of the
office.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fun. I love the secret crush trope because I don't know, maybe I'm a masochist, but I like when
no,
how good
I think
it hurts.
Yes.
Like it
yes.
hurts so good when like, oh, they see him with another person and they're like, oh, I guess they love them. Oh my God.
Yeah. Or they love do it. Something and they're like, I know I'm being pretty obvious right now. And then the other person's completely oblivious. And
yeah.
they're like, oh,
yeah.
oh, okay. No, you don't actually like me. And you're like, no.
Yep. Love it.
Yep. Yeah. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, you're on to something. I feel like all like a lot of my favorite shows has something to do like a secret crush or something.
That's...
I was thinking like Manor of Death 2 is like basically
that's true.
A secret crush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I didn't realize that secret crush was my favorite trope. I always thought it was like enemies to lovers or something like that. But then when I look back, I'm like, no, bad buddy, be my favorite.
Yeah.
Make Our Days Count had a secret crush aspect with like the, anyway, shit, what was I just, old fashioned cupcake, like this secret crush angsty type of feel. I always love the fanfics that have this like secret crush aspect and like I always gravitate towards romance novels with like this secret crush aspect. Yeah. Even secret crush on you, literally a
president.
Secret crush that
was
a not so secret crush. Like I it was a not so secret crush, let's be real.
It was a crush. That's for sure. Secret,
yeah.
I don't know.
Like I just this like this angst, like you were saying, Matt, this angst aspect of this secret crush, and then just like everything that happens, and then that satisfactory moment
mm-hmm.
when the crush is realized mm-hmm. and yeah. they have a connection, whatever that connection is. It's just,
it's the good stuff.
Oh, I'm feeling strongly about this.
Yeah,
feeling real strong about
this. I have like one show left on my list. Ooh. And I don't know where to put it, and I'll just, because this might sound a little bit weird, but the side couple in Oxygen, obviously the boy's not the
bunny the and creepy... the
oh bunny my boy. God, I forgot about them.
Yeah. When he the painter, like Fu yeah. Poo, the actor, he's like doing this painting thing, and Cao, the character Cao, comes in. And he paints his face like a bunny. And yeah. he had like this super serious, put together character that's very like, and he's painting another man's face as a bunny because he thinks he's cute.
Because he loves bunnies.
And it's just, it's cute. So romantic to me. I just like, I'm so sad we didn't get a season two. I'm just yes. literally.
Yes, they deserve their own story. They deserve yeah. redemption.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I feel that, Pixie.
I thought you were talking about the doctors at first, and I was like, excuse me.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, no, no.
But I forgot about the other. I forgot about the other second couple in the show.
No. I don't view the doctors as a second couple.
They were something. No, like Stoic
Man and Bunny Man are the second couple.
Just cut them out of the show. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I feel yeah. like.
Did anyone else have any other that didn't fit, I guess, within like the love languages little.
The only thing. Other one I had that I didn't really know where it would fit in. I felt like it kind of sat between a couple different categories, but it was the one I mentioned earlier from Last Twilight. And it's this really small moment in episode 6 before. Malk is taking Day to his surprise birthday party. He's helping Day get dressed, and there's this moment where Day asks Malk, like, what are you wearing? Like, you know, what did, like, how did you dress up for, you know, they said it was going, taking him out to dinner for his birthday. It turned out to be a surprise party. It was a whole thing. But, you know, Day's asking Malk, like, you know, how did you dress up? Like, we're going out to eat. Like, you know, Malk is usually someone who, he's a mechanic. He dresses down. He's not a fancy dresser. So he's asking him, how did you dress up? And instead of just describing it to Day, Malk kind of takes his hands and lets Day feel what he's wearing. And he goes through, like, lets him feel his shirt and says, you know, it's green. He lets him feel his pants. This is, I'm wearing, you know, cargo jeans of this color. He lets him feel his earring and is like, you know, I always have this earring and you might not have known, and my two bracelets that I always wear. And so it's just kind of like this way of catering to Day's needs as someone who is going blind and cannot actively see what he is wearing, but also like allowing him to be active in that process instead of just describing it to him. And there was something about that moment, because in that scene, we know that Malk feels so strongly for Day at that point. So he's just kind of like going above and beyond to make Day a part of his life. And, you know, there's this whole trope of like normalcy, living as a normal person with a disability. That's kind of like a theme throughout the show. And so something that Malk always did was accommodate Day's needs as a blind man, but also not go above and beyond to make him feel like he is being taken care of beyond what he needs, and falling into the category of pity, which we mentioned before. Mm-hmm. So I think that moment just really stands out to me because like it's so intimate, and the way that he's like having Day like literally feel his body and feel the clothes on his body. But it's also a way to accommodate what Day needs in that situation to be able to make him a part of that moment. And so something about just like the proximity of it all kind of falls into physical touch, but it's also kind of an act of service, I think, and accommodating Day's needs and including him in that moment and making that moment work for him. But it always stood out as like one of my favorite moments between Malk and Day before they were officially dating. So that was the other one I had.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like moments like that mm-hmm. too. And it's almost like they constructed their own love language together.
Yes.
Like mm-hmm. I love how in the final episode he was reverting back to that love language they had. Yeah. Like he's describing what's happening in the room. Yeah. Like, you know, this person has a smile on their face, or this, like, going into detail. And then he's like, okay, so your meal's right here, mm-hmm. the rice is here. Mm-hmm. Like he's still doing that because that's how he learns to talk to them. I think that's a good point. I really like
it. It's like he found a way to, like, that sweet space that Day needed between Day, who struggled a lot with people taking care of him and feeling like people were pitying him by taking care of him beyond what he needed, where mm-hmm. Malk, who came on as his caretaker, had certain things that he needed to do. So he found that sweet space of, this will give Day the independence that he needs as a human being and deserves as a human being, while also accommodating him in the way that he needs as someone who is actively going blind. And he also found a way to accommodate his own growing personal feelings towards Day into it and make them romantic and moments that really showed how he cared for Day beyond just being his caretaker at the time. And then once they started dating, it kind of became, like you said, part of their love language. And that's what I really appreciated about Malk as a character. So yeah, that was the only other one I had on my list.
That actually reminds me of I can't remember Op's character in Secret Crush on You, but
Touch,
him, right? And Daisy,
was it Touch?
Touch?
Daisy and maybe In Touch? Was that
Daisy
correct?
In Touch?
I don't know.
In Touch sounds right. But they're seen at the noodle stand, and him affirming Daisy and her gender,
mm-hmm.
and showing and treating her, so both with words and with actions, and showing her just how special she is to him, mm-hmm. and that he sees her, like actually sees her. Yeah. And, that I feel that was so, like, yeah, that was romantic, like actually using his words to affirm her gender, and then using his actions, holding the door open for her, mm-hmm. and treating her like she's precious, mm-hmm. opposed to how she was treated before as a joke or just, yeah, actually literally as a joke, like from previous partners that she's been with, like just something about, I guess, and like you were talking about how in Last Twilight they kind of created their own
mm-hmm.
love language. I feel like with Daisy and
Touch, it's Touch. I just looked it up. It's In Touch.
Touch? Yeah. Okay. Daisy and Touch, they created their kind of their own love language there with the way that they would communicate and the way that Touch would treat Daisy mm-hmm. as someone who's precious.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I love them. That's sweet. I don't know. I just have one that stood out to me at the end of the day. And it's like a really simple moment, but if we haven't talked about Until We Meet Again enough, the first kiss in episode 6.
Oh my God.
I really love how Dean,
yes.
he takes him on, I guess if someone hasn't seen it, Dean takes him on this tour of the school on their, I think it's like the club day where they're like, the clubs are just all interacting. And he takes him like a private tour. And then like, once they have this private moment alone together, is their first kiss. But there's this interesting bit of dialogue where, if I'm remembering correctly, Dean asks him like, there's almost like this unspoken thing that's been going on. He's like, he asks him, do you understand what's going on? And Parm's like, yes, that we love each other. Mm, and it's like, oh my God. Mm. And then they kiss. And by the way, the soundtrack at that point is just fire.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I go back and rewatch the scene all the time because it's so well put together.
Such a good first kiss.
And the curtains, the way the curtains are around.
Yeah,
they create their own little like intimate world, intimate moment.
And then he like buries himself in his shoulder afterwards because he gets shy. Oh, that's such a good scene.
Yeah, that was like when we were mentioning like good like scenes about love and romance, like that one stands out for me.
And this is a shout out for Kayla too, the inherent romanticism of soulmate storylines, which like Until We Meet Again and also I Feel You Linger in the Air, just like that, you know, like knowing you love someone without even really like knowing, if that makes sense. Like you just see this person, mm-hmm. you're like, this is my person, I love them, I don't know how I know this, but like we can both see this in each other. Like soulmates are so good.
Yeah, like Dean from the first moment he sees Parm, it was like he never had a question. He was like, oh, there's my soulmate. Okay,
exactly.
Yeah,
that's how Yai is. I love that. Feel You Linger in the Air too, and it's just so it's delicious every time. I eat it up.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'll eat it up every time.
Yeah, all right, does anyone have any other final moments that didn't fit into our categories? We've been talking romance for a while now. All right, well, that's gonna be it for the episode then. So be sure to head to the comment section, or if you're listening, head to the comment section on YouTube too. Share your favorite romantic BL moments with us. You can fit them into the love languages like we did. You can just kind of spill whatever comes to your mind. We always love reading comments on episodes like this, and you know, being reminded of moments that we might not have thought of. And make sure to do that if you want to enter the contest as well, so we can choose a winner and get two of you guys tickets to the Longleaf fan meet. But yeah, that's gonna be it for the episode this week. Thank you so much, Matt, for joining us and coming on to share some of your favorite romantic moments with us. It was a lot of
fun.
Thank you
for having me.
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
Good. I'm glad. Anytime you want to come back, we are here. But yeah, it was a great episode. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for people to watch. So make sure to like, comment, subscribe, do all the fun things for the algorithm. Check out our Patreon. We do series reactions over there. We're doing reviews that are over there before they go up on YouTube. Behind the scenes contents from interviews and all that fun stuff all goes up on our Patreon. So you can find that information in the description. But other than that, we will see you guys in
another... No, we're gonna tell everyone to go follow Matt.
Oh my god, yes.
Where can we find you, Matt?
Yes, where can people find you?
I'm not even self-promoting. I was like, okay, whatever.
Yes, please let us know where people can find you.
Yeah, if you want to check out my stuff, best place to find me is TikTok. It's at @VL_bro, and you can find all my links there, all my content and different stuff.
Yes, go follow Matt. You'll be in for good content. I'm currently loving your weekly Pit Babe episode analyses. So,
yeah. I love you. Just
another time we'll have to get back together to talk about the Omegaverse.
Oh my god. We need to do an episode about Pit Babe. Yes. So, we might have to have you come back.
We
then.
Need an Omegaverse episode just talking about the Omegaverse.
I'm so down.
Yes. Me and Heather too. We're down. We're coming.
Yes. We all know how I feel about
Omegaverse. Stay tuned for that Lovecast episode coming to you soon. But yes, go follow Matt and check out his content. And follow us on socials if you're not as well. We also have a TikTok where we post stuff. It's a lot of just me doing filters on there. But it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
I'm sometimes there.
But yeah.
We like the filters.
All of that stuff will be in the description. We'll put Matt's socials down there as well, so you can just pop down to the description and follow him from there. And don't forget to enter the giveaway. Repeating that again. So go do that now if you'd like to. And we will see you guys in another episode soon. Bye-bye. Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye. Happy Valentine's Day. Spend it with yourself. Spend it with friends. Spend it with your loved ones. Love yourself. I don't know.
Yep.
Love yourself.
Oh, there's your hearts. Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Oh. What does that happen?
Nah, it's just me. It's a FaceTime.
You have like a... Oh.
Because I'm on my Mac. And so...
Just run through them all.
Yep. Let's go through them all. Was this one?
That magic.
Way. I always get this wrong. That way. There we go.
Where has this been the whole episode?